I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm just tired of people talking about my defense. You know, I've always been a good all-ball defender, but, you know, there's no reason, you know, I can be this good offensively and not be that good on the defensive end. So taking more pride in it, and, you know, I'm pretty sure it'll show, you know, so I'll make sure of that.
A newly motivated Zach LaVine. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game?
Yes.
Sign up to take a spin on the Turtle Wax Ice Box. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Let's talk about Zach LaVine and his team in the NBA with Ricky O'Donnell. He's on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky, the basketball editor at SB Nation. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. So is Zach LaVine just giving a little eyewash there with some of those comments, or does he mean what he says about his individual defense?
Well, I think that's going to change the most for LaVine defensively this year is that he has better defensive infrastructure around him. The Bulls can run out a lineup this year with Thaddeus Young, with Otto Porter, with Wendell Carter Jr. in the front court. That would give LaVine a lot of cushion defensively. We know that defense in the NBA at this point is more about help team defense than individual point of attack defense. I think that LaVine has shown improved effort over the course of the preseason, so as long as he has the right mentality heading into the year, I think the Bulls actually have some pieces around him where they can lift the team defense with him still being on the court.
So we know that Jim Boylan really, I mean, he basically wants to play defense along with his guys when they're out on the floor. He'd love to be the sixth defender out there. What does he actually want to accomplish schematically when deploying some of these guys, like you talk about, or need kind of a structure in order to play a solid defense?
Yeah, I think defensively it's going to be a drop pick and roll defense. They don't really have the personnel to like blitz the pick and roll, to switch everything. I think they will do that in certain lineups, certainly when Thad's at the five. I think you could see them switching more. But for the most part, I think it's going to be a conservative defense. They're going to try to force opposing teams into mid-range twos. They're going to try to close out hard run teams off the three-point line. We'll see if it works. Last year, they were 25th in the league in defensive efficiency. I would actually anticipate the offense to be ahead of the defense this year. The Bulls have not finished with a higher offensive efficiency than defensive efficiency since 2009. Just given what we've seen this preseason, the personnel on the team, I think this year the offense should actually be ahead of the defense.
We spent a lot of time talking about Lauri Markkanen for a while, and John Paxson referred to him as a foundational player. Yet it's been kind of quiet as we've been excited about some other, you know, fancy toys that are arriving and the Bulls are picking up the pace. When do we see the expected next jump for Lauri Markkanen? When do we know what is a reasonable ceiling for somebody that many thought was at the beginning of an all-star career after he certainly impressed beyond some expectations as a rookie?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dan. And to me, Markkanen has more pressure on him than any player on the Bulls roster heading into this season. The question before the preseason started was whose offense would this be, LaVine's or Markkanen's? I think that Zach has really taken the reins in the preseason, and just given his skill set, he's going to be the guy with the ball in his hands, running the pick and rolls, running the isolation sets. The one statistic to keep in mind for Markkanen last year, 68% of his made field goals were assisted. That tells me that he's the type of guy who isn't really going to create his own offense out of thin air. He's someone who needs to be set up. The addition of Tomas Satoransky, I think, will aid him in that. But look at Markkanen in this preseason. He's taken, what, 11 shots a game. He hasn't really had an aggressive scoring mindset. To me, part of that falls on LaVine. At the end of the day, LaVine's going to be the guy who's running the offense. I want LaVine to sort of dial back his scoring a bit, become more of a playmaker. Last year, LaVine posted the highest assist rate of his career at 22%, but there's still plenty of room for upward mobility. I would like to see LaVine make it a priority to get Markkanen involved, to try to get him to average 20 points a game, when that happens, I think, you know, maybe the Bulls could be a top half of the league offense.
Kobe White's talked a little bit about the multi-ball handler system that Jim Boylan and the Bulls are kind of using so far in the preseason. He seems to like that idea, calls it kind of a modern approach to the NBA. Is that good for his development, and do you expect Boylan to, I don't know, continue it, to lean on it?
Yeah, I think that Kobe has shown some good signs in the preseason. I was a fan of the pick of Kobe, talked to his high school coach, did a big story on him right before the draft. I think mostly, though, Kobe's going to be a long-term developmental prospect. What we've seen this preseason is he's much more programmed to be a scorer than a facilitator. I think he scored 24 points on 22 shots in one preseason game, 18 points on 16 shots with no assists in the next preseason game. So he's someone who's wired to score. I think in terms of, you know, the point guard sensibilities, he only had to do that at North Carolina. That was not his role in the circuit. That wasn't his role when he was breaking high school scoring records in North Carolina. So to me right now, I think that Kobe's mostly going to be a change of pace guard. It's hard for me to see how he has a positive impact on winning for a Bulls team that is going to need every inch they can get to fight towards the playoffs. Just realistically, Kobe White is not going to be taking 20 shots in a regular season NBA game. So I think he needs to improve his role player skills before sort of his go-to scoring ability. Because of that, I view him as kind of a microwave scorer off the bench, at least for the first year of his career.
The evolution of Jim Boylan is something we're trying to pay close attention to here, because it does seem that this is a true believer, and he is not shy about talking about his true beliefs to the Church of Basketball, from which he sermonizes from his pulpit. But when it comes to the actual tactical chops, I'm real happy to see Chris Fleming here, and I don't know if we're ever going to know where one ends and the other begins, but do you think it's fair to say that maybe the husbandry of timeouts gets a little bit more sensible, and understanding of personnel groupings, which out-of-bounds play to use and when? It might not be the fact that Fleming's actually there waving a clipboard around, but I like already what I believe to be the influence that he's having. Are my instincts serving me well?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that for all the moves the Bulls have made towards the roster this offseason, I think Fleming could be an equally huge addition on the bench. Just look at the shot profile during the preseason. More threes, more shots at the rim, less mid-range shots. That's what you want. And let's be honest, at this point, the Bulls are a few years late to adopt that. The rest of the league had already moved into that direction. It's about time the Bulls join the party. I think the Bulls definitely need to play fast this year. That's something where they had success under Boylan when he took over, when they actually had more transition possessions than the league average. When they played slow, when Boylan made him walk the ball up, pound the ball into the post with Robin Lopez and Wendell Carter early in his tenure, it didn't really fit their personnel, and I think the offensive efficiency struggled because of it. I'm hoping with Fleming's influence on the bench, you'll see them play at a higher tempo, you'll see them take more efficient shots on the floor. I think it could be a really big addition for the Bulls coaching staff.
Talking Bulls Hoops with Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. Hey, Ricky, I don't know if you know this, but Dan is actually considering a very big life event coming up here. He's considering adoption.
Yep.
We're not quite, I mean, I'm trying to sell him on it. I think he'd be a great basketball dad. He's considering Luke Kornet, 7'1", 250 pounds out of Vanderbilt. He's very close to making Luke Kornet the newest addition of his adopted basketball family.
Yeah, I like him more than I should like him, I think, because he does good things, and he's really tall.
So I'm wondering if this is a situation, Ricky, where you can be like the knowing, wise, person working at the pound, letting him know that, no, this isn't the puppy for you and it needs to go to somewhere else, or if this is the lovable, big, brown-eyed thing that's going to make his life whole again.
You, my brown-eyed thing.
I love Luke Kornet. I think that's a great choice for adoption.
Okay.
I remember following Kornet back in his Vanderbilt days, covering college basketball for SB Nation. He was on a team with Wade Baldwin there, who was a first-round pick who essentially flamed out of the league. Kornet always caught my eye during those days. He had a knee injury his senior year, which sort of took him out of the draft picture. He had to grind his way through the G League to eventually get a spot on the Knicks. What he did last year was awesome. I think he had 4 or 5 games where he scored over 20 points. He finished top 100 in the league in RPM, which is sort of the best all-in-one stat to capture on-court impact in the NBA. And you look at the versatility he gives the Bulls. There's not a lot of teams with 2 7-footers that can shoot threes like Markkanen and Kornet. Kornet can also protect the rim a little bit. Last year, I think the stat is something like there are only two players in the league with a 4.5% block rate and a 3-point rate over 50%. It was Luke Kornet and Brook Lopez. So Luke Kornet essentially is going to be sort of a baby version of Brook Lopez, who did wonders for the Bucks spacing last year around Giannis. I think that he really improves their depth. You're going to be able to put him in different lineups, you know, when you want to go with a five-out offensive look. Essentially, he's probably going to be playing 20 minutes a game. He'll be the fourth big man in the rotation behind Carter, Markkanen, and Thad Young. But for a move on the margins, what a strange victory for the Bulls. Goes against everything John Paxson and Gar Foreman have did over the last decade and change, typically valuing, you know, points per game, empty calorie scores. They got a true advanced stats all-star with Luke Kornet, and I think it was a great move around the margins for the Bulls this summer.
I also covered his dad when his dad played in the CBA for the Fort Wayne Fury and the Rochester Renegade. I was broadcasting games. His dad was always nice guy, always available for interviews, and so he comes. He's got a good basketball lineage here. I'm probably biased, but you mentioned some of these moves around the margins. Shaq Harrison, I went back, Ricky, and looked at some of the advanced defensive metrics and went to some of the Sport View stats. He is, in some ways, an elite defensive player, not just good. And I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I wrote them up in a piece that there are things he absolutely cannot do, and I'm not going to debate his overall value. But if used properly, if deployed properly, a given matchup, a given situation, or a given time in the game, the fact that they, let, like you say, they let Antonio Blakeney go, who just sucks out loud, and they're keeping a guy with a measurable skill here, something's really moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I like Shaq Harrison. I'm good with Shaq Harrison. The thing is, point guard is the deepest spot on this roster. We'll see if they move Chris Dunn, but you still
have
Kobe, you still have Archie Diacono, you still have Satoransky. So I'm mostly looking at Shaq Harrison this year needing to be a wing defender. I don't think that's ideally his best spot. Now, the guy is tough as nails defensively, we know that. But is he going to be able to guard threes? Because to me, that's where the Bulls' depth issue really lies this year, especially with Chandler Hutchison having an early season injury, with Denzel Valentine having a long injury history. It's like Harrison, where he can make his mark on this team is defending up a couple positions. I was a big fan of David Nwaba, who was here a few years ago. He was a great diamond in the rough the Bulls found. I was clamoring for the Bulls on Twitter to bring Nwaba back all offseason. They didn't do it. Harrison can be Nwaba-like. He's a little bit smaller. He's not as strong. He's an amazing defensive player. There's no doubt about that. I want to see if he can defend bigger wings as opposed to guards, because to me, that's where the opportunity on the depth chart is.
Are they essentially just going to have to wait for a whole slew of horrific injuries around the league to find someone who needs Chris Dunn on their roster and trade him then?
Probably. I don't think Chris Dunn has much value right now. He's been terrible in the preseason. He was saying all the right things heading into training camp, but I'm a little skeptical it's going to actualize on the court. And it's tough because Chris Dunn, top five pick, talented player, McDonald's All-American out of high school, all that. I'm sure he has a high opinion of himself, but sort of what the Bulls need out of that point guard spot right now is not someone who thinks of himself as the primary scorer when he's on the floor. I think Satoransky's mindset, in addition to his skill set, will be a huge benefit to the Bulls' starting lineup group this year. And, you know, the Bulls would have traded Dunn already if they could have found a suitor, I think. So we'll have to see who gets hurt around the league this year. I'd be really surprised if Chris Dunn finishes the season in a Bulls uniform.
Yeah, you mentioned the problem with the wing depth, and you were very kind to say that Denzel Valentine has had injury problems. He's also had lack of explosiveness, athleticism, and suddenness problems as a wing. And every team that comes in seems like they've got a guy who's 6'9 or 6'10 and just slashing in and jumping over everybody. And I don't know what you do. I don't know. Even if you sort of optimize Valentine right now, they're going to give him a chance to be something, but what is he now?
Yeah, he's like a guard version of old Sam Perkins, where he just plays three-point line to three-point line, and he doesn't really step inside the arc at any point. Because I will say, I think that Valentine can really shoot it, and he can pass a little bit on the move. Like, this was a guy who was putting up triple-doubles as a senior in college at Michigan State. That comes with some obvious caveats with that type of performance, but I do trust his jump shot, and I think that that could be something off the bench for the Bulls. I'm projecting him as the ninth man behind Kornet, behind Thad, behind Chris Dunn at this point, maybe even behind Kobe, which would make him the 10th man. But I think that, you know, Valentine, his skill set's pretty narrow. He's a catch-and-shoot guy. He He's incredibly slow. He has no explosiveness going to the basket. He's literally never going to draw a free throw. He can't defend anyone. But if you have some point guards who can create, who can find him in the corners, he is going to be able to be, in my opinion, probably a 42-43% three-point shooter, which has some value. But at this point, it doesn't really look like the Bulls are going to get the value they expected when they took him with a first-round pick.
That's not the note we want to end it on. But, hey, I really appreciate you pushing Dan into adopting Luke Kornet. That is big. I think
start
you got
the paperwork. It's happening. It's all happening.
Ricky, thanks, Ricky.
Good stuff, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
That is Ricky O'Donnell, the basketball editor at SB Nation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.